Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 347 shopping days left until Christmas, and I believe you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight on our seventh season of Christmas Creeps, it's Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hey, fucker, what's up?
What up, badass? Yeah, that's right. I complimented you.
Yeah, well, thanks, you piece of shit. I appreciate it.
And to my immediate internet left is Mr. Bradford.
Hey, girl! God. Seventh season, we're really starting it off on a low point, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that this new year of ours, we're 10 days into the new year, and it's already been a year, hasn't it, folks? I don't even know what to say. All I can honestly say is,
yep,
crack one open if you got it.
There, can check. Go. I think John has a very special can check too, but first Joe and I are going to rattle off what we're working with.
I'm drinking this year's Shiner Holiday Brew. It's the Shiner Candied Pecan Ale. It is like alcoholic. It's like alcoholic crack. I love it.
Excellent.
Bradford, what you got?
I am drinking Right Proper's Diamonds Fur Coat Champagne. Mm. It is a Berliner Weiss soured. It's very light, but hey, that's okay, because also I took some NyQuil before this.
Oh, so Brad pre-gamed his pre-game.
So I'm working on that lean.
Now, Mr. Five, what you got for us?
I have what appears to be a can of SpaghettiOs, but I don't think that's what it actually is.
I saw the picture of it earlier, and it does look like SpaghettiOs.
It's even got the colorway of SpaghettiOs. It's remarkable.
It is limited edition Sonic the Hedgehog Peach Rings flavored G Fuel energy drink. I saw the Sonic logo and was like, I need to buy that and put it into my body.
You're like the kids who try to eat rocks that have SpongeBob stickers on them.
Hell yeah. I'm not a stranger to energy drinks. I've not had G Fuel before. It seems to be the most tedious brand. They call themselves the official drink of esports. There are several FaZe Clan tie-in ones. There's a PewDiePie lingonberry flavor.
Oh, God.
I highly doubt that they speak for all of esports.
That's what it says. It says official drink of esports.
It's like calling myself the official drink of ass.
Bradford is, in fact, the official drink of ass.
The official drink of tennis. Like, come on. Have you tasted Mr. the Hedgehog's magic G-Force brew yet?
I will say, just off of smell, it does smell like peach ring candy. I'll say that.
Well, that's a promising start.
Okay. As advertised, at least.
I'm going to keep drinking it, but, like, ugh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Describe what you're feeling right now. Describe the sensation for us.
I mean, it tastes like I drank a bunch of peach ring candy. Ugh. It's like, I mean, you succeeded, but... I think this is a movie you say a lot. You succeeded, but should you have been trying?
Right.
Have you been instilled with the desire to go fast?
I mean, I gotta go fast.
So later, if Jonathan steps on a Lego, just a bunch of SpaghettiOs are gonna fall out of him, right?
Yeah. I don't know, but the picture, the fact that it does look like SpaghettiOs made me just have horrible, like, bad thoughts about, like, why don't they make savory energy drinks?
Why don't they?
Yeah, can you have, like, a marinara energy drink?
Honestly, might be preferable to the extreme sweetness of some of these energy drinks.
What you're suggesting is that we take soup and infuse it with electrolytes?
Yeah, caffeinated soup, yeah.
Somebody out there somewhere has probably already tried to bring this idea to fruition.
Well, do you remember when we went to PAX, they had the gamer oatmeal that turned out to just be a Cards Against Humanity thing, but still the fact that they labeled it as gamer oatmeal.
Yes, I distinctly recall this. And most of it ended up in the trash, as I recall.
Yeah, I think your brother ate some of the oatmeal.
He did. Aw, get better, Dan. Not because he ate the oatmeal, because he's sick right now.
Because of the oatmeal that he ate five years ago.
8 years ago, bud.
Wow. It,
yeah, that was 2014? Yeah. No,
it was 2014. It was 6 years ago.
That's...
I'll settle. It was 13 years ago.
Also, it was yesterday.
Also, yes. It was another lifetime ago. Time is a fuck.
Yeah, we are all living on disc 4 of Final Fantasy VIII.
Boy, ain't that the truth. I don't even know what that means. So, Bradford, I have to switch gears right now and ask you, what the hell did you make us watch this week?
We watched 2002's Rhapsody Street Kids, Believe in Santa.
Why did we watch 2002's Rhapsody Street Kids, Believe in Santa?
Because it's there. No.
Why did you climb that mountain? Because it was there. Thank you so much.
No. So I had the pleasure of reading a fascinating article on this whole picture's production a couple weeks back. Had never heard of it before. Gents, had either of you heard of this movie before I had mentioned it?
Fuck no.
Nope.
Joe?
Hi.
You would think that a movie that saw a national televised release of this caliber would have gone down.
It was the WB.
Well, still, come on.
It was 2002 WB, which was like the WB in its death throes.
I guess you're right. But still work with me here.
This thing
got a national release, which is remarkable in itself.
Yeah. To put it another way, this computer animated Christmas special came out the year after Shrek.
Yes.
And it looks like this. It looks like a kid's 3D Studio Max computer project for like an eighth grade science class.
I was hoping somebody would mention 3D Studio Max, because that is very much the steez that this puts off.
I mean, this is like, do you remember, speaking of 2014, back when we used to watch Really 3D all the time?
Yes. Yeah. This is Really 3D.
It's better than Really 3D, worse than Xavier Renegade Angel.
Yeah, it threads a very weird needle where, like, you don't know if it's this bad on purpose or if they're just incompetent.
All right. We got to back up a little bit here.
Okay.
So for the uninitiated, just go ahead and do an image search on your favorite search engine. Just search Rap City, but it's Rapsittie Street Kids. You can put the Believe in Santa if you like or not. And you'll probably hit the concept art, which isn't great to begin with, but then you'll see some stills that look like they maybe were done in MS Paint. Very low quality 3D images. Those are stills from the movie.
Yeah, this is not fan art. None of this is.
This is.
Oh, there is some fan art, actually.
The fun part about this is the fan art I did see was better than both the concept art and the actual film.
Yeah, was that? I guess that was the concept art was supposed to be what was over playing over the credits.
Yes.
Where it was like, oh, those almost look like cartoon characters.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the concept art. So we'll back up a little bit.
Can I say what it actually looks like to me?
Yes.
It looks
your podcast.
Well, thank you, John. It looks like somebody tried to computer animate a Sweet Bro Hella Jeff comic.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that as well, because that is the other thing that I was thinking of, especially that deer that I sent you.
The deer, the fucking deer, yeah, but like the one, like the straight on, like shot of Nicole's face.
It's so
just,
good.
It's just a horrifying computer grimace of a character.
It is Sweet Bro and Ella Jeff in computer animated form. It's amazing.
So here's the thing: when I was in high school, I took a couple of ceramics classes, and one of them we made a human head. Like, we're supposed to make it whatever you look like. You know, make a cartoon character, make somebody, just make something that has the features of a human head, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And so you'd make the layers going up to make the shape, and then you'd have to put the features on. And when you put the eyes on, what you start with, you start with like the little, like kind of a little bit oblong ball to make the eyeball. Then you'd layer the eyelids over it, and then you have to smooth it all out. The eyes in this look like they forgot to smooth it out. It's just like, all right.
The eyes look a little bit lewd if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Okay. So,
how many polygons are we talking. Working with here is what I should be asking.
What was the question?
How many polygons are we working with here?
Very low poly situation here.
Two or three at most.
Yeah, like okay. Singular polygon. That's the one.
So I'm floored that we had never heard about this before, being inundated with requests and Christmas media and all of that.
Especially because, like, last year I was dicking around on Lost Media Wiki and found that cranberry thing. I'm surprised this didn't jump out as well.
Yeah, for real.
Because the reason we have this, the people to thank, is the fine people at Lost Media Wiki.
Thank you and God bless.
Yeah. So this got a release in 2002, and for very obvious reasons was never aired again. Still remarkable that it made it to national distribution.
Yeah.
We have so just to paint with broad strokes, you guys can fill in the names if you want, but we have this executive who's worked on stuff before, and he has an idea, and his fantastic idea is what if animation, but we don't have to work with folks overseas, we don't have to pay animators, what if computers are the revolution that fuels animation that is made for television? People had already been working on this, but this guy gets this bright idea that he can use a computer program called, I believe, 3D Choreographer to create animation very cheaply, very quickly, to use. Oh god, the NyQuil's already hitting. Oh no.
it's so confusing, all of this, because, like, originally it was called the Bash Street Kids, which is a comic strip that's been around since the 50s.
Yeah. And the producer is British. So it's like, come on. Then they changed it to the Raps.
Like, how was I supposed to know Sesame Street was already a thing?
Yeah. Then, did you guys hear about Dennis the Menace? And how there's a British Dennis the Menace? And the two of them were, like, created simultaneously, and neither of them had any idea about the other, and it just so happened that it was a complete coincidence.
Yeah, and isn't it, like, didn't it turn out that, like, the one came out in, like, the American version in England came out and was just called Dennis, and then the British version came out in America and was just called The Menace or something like that? Like, they just
named
the other one overseas.
I believe so, but the way that I heard about it is somebody on Twitter was telling a story about how they were really like Dennis the Menace, the U.S. version, and they lived in the U.K., and they had requested Dennis the Menace wallpaper for their bedroom, and the people wallpapered the British version of Dennis the Menace on their bedroom. These comic strip pages of some kid they have, like, no idea about on their bedroom wall because of this weird coincidence. All right. Gotta focus. Back to the story at hand. So this guy thinks he has the key to this. And the key to this is a program called 3D Choreographer. Turns out 3D Choreographer is very limited in what it can do and is basically made for making 3D PowerPoint presentations. So this guy hires, like, well-known animators, people that have worked with, like, Disney and DreamWorks and all of these other groups. He hires them for his new burgeoning studio. And he hires well-known voice actors. We got Mark Hamill. We got Lisa Carter. Is it who? Nancy Cartwright.
Yeah,
The Simpsons.
Yeah, just to go through, because this is important for my purposes. Very quickly.
Yes.
Ricky is the main character. Ricky is Walter Jones, the original Black Power Ranger from Power Rangers. Mark Hamill is, I want to say, he's Nicole's dad.
He plays Nicole's dad, and he also plays the school principal. They're two different.
Why not?
No, Robert McRae was the school principal.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that was Mark Hamill.
They're saying it was Mark McRae. Well, I'll trust him for right now.
Mark Hamill is in this.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
Paige O'Hara, who is Belle from all the Disney shit, is Nicole. Nancy Cartwright, Bart, is doing the voice of Todd the Bully. She's very specifically doing, if you remember the episode of The Simpsons where they watched Davy and Goliath, she's doing the voice she used for Davy in that episode.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've got Nicole's friend Lene, who's played by Jodie Benson, Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And then there's Deborah Wilson as Ricky's grandmother. And also Clint Howard is here, everybody.
Yes.
So we have all these A-list animation voice actors. Can I say that?
And then also Clint Howard. Speaking of Clint Howard and Mark Hamill, we have a double dip today, it turns out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The Triple Threat Club is growing at an alarming rate. Clint Howard, previously seen in the Jim Carrey How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Of course.
And Santa with Muscles plays Tug, one of the bullies. And Mark Hamill was also seen in Christmas with the Joker and the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yep. At the very least.
And I will now be seen in hell.
You did it. 2021's looking up for both of these folks.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably spend all of this year and next just watching Christmas things that Clint Howard's been in. I'm not saying we should, I'm just saying we could.
I mean, we have a Silent Night, Deadly Night 4 and 5, I believe he's been both of those.
That would be one hell of a gimmick year. Just a whole season following one man's career through Christmas movies.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, what else we got? Gray Delisle is in here. She's just one of those people that shows up in everything. She was a Mandy in Billy and Mandy, among about 1,000 other roles. It's one of those names that gets in the same list with like Mark Hamill or like David Herman or Billy West. Just like, oh yeah, it's that name that's in like 90 billion animated things and video games.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of folks here. Can I say A-listers? Would we say A-listers?
There's a couple of solid A-listers, I would say.
So, surprising that they ended up in an animation of this quality. And it turns out nobody had any idea of how bad this was going to turn out until it turned out.
Yeah.
So, you have a couple of pro animators who are essentially handed the equivalent of PowerPoint, but 3D. And it turns out the software cannot handle complex character models to the point where they had to contract the makers of the software to create models for them that could work in the software.
Oh my god.
Very limited range of motion. If you watch this, oh please watch this. I usually try to warn people away from watching this. At least take a sample of this. Skip through it a little bit. You don't have to watch the whole thing. It's just remarkable, this whole situation. You know, my favorite star that was in this whole entire thing was the MS Paint spray paint brush featured heavily. If any of you have spent any time at MS Paint as a kid, you know what the spray paint brush looks like. Every single scene, I guess the scenes, I'm guessing a lot of the backgrounds are just JPEGs that they mocked up and then ripped out to allow them to put the characters on top of them. Every time they need snow to sort of like dapple a roof or a tree, the MS Paint spray paint brush is out in full effect. We also have some really great clip art of actual trees alongside like clip art trees. Oh, so good.
My favorite use is like the way they take the spray paint tool and just slightly go over the edges of the roads to show you that it's snowing out.
I know. It's so good. There's a lot of really good stuff. I just remembered in the opening scene how the bus stops and then a school bell rings on the bus.
Yeah, and just the one kid who always has a sandwich, and like you look at it and my thought was like, oh, that's because that model included a sandwich and a scarf. That's why that kid has a sandwich and a scarf. They just used the default model.
It's what's his name? That's Smithy. Smithy. Smithy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because half of these fucking kids look like they're like just, look, they all look like Danny DeVito. They're just 40-year-old short guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Brad, do you have more backstory for
us? So in addition to having software that basically was not created for this purpose, they were also given like 3 months turnaround time. So we also have Crunch in the picture, ladies and gentlemen, to bring up a recent topic. To the producer's credit, apparently the folks were paid for their overtime during Crunch. Still really shitty that it even came to that, but I don't know.
I mean, that's more than Seth Rogen did on Sausage Party, I guess. So,
yes, and that's more than I assume CD Projekt Red did for our favorite recent Crunch topic. Cyberpunk 20, that's whatever. Did either of you play that?
No,
I don't have anything capable of playing it. I didn't bother. But
I mean, no, it sounds like it's absolutely terrible on console, and my computer can't run it, and yeah, it just doesn't sound like it's up my alley. It's just like, all right, you took like a standard action RPG and just kind of like
made it modern times,
yeah, just kind of like edgelorded times. A couple of things up basically.
Yeah.
All right. This is the most bad. Let's just, hey, video game chat. This is the most baffling fucking part about this. They realized to an extent, like, you know what? It's kind of shitty to be like, oh, do you want to make a boy character or a girl character? That's what this game is. Pick one. So they're like, no, let's kind of like loosen that up a little bit. But all they really did was, instead of just saying, hey, you can like, you know, pick your, you know, your body type, pick your voice, pick your gender, whatever. They're like, oh no, boys have this voice and girls have that voice. That's what determines your gender, rather than what model you picked, what voice you picked. They didn't even fucking solve the problem that they made a big fuss about to begin with. Oops. And by that I mean, they made such a huge fucking deal about, no, look, we're totally progressive, we know what the fuck we're doing, we're not just a bunch of dumb assholes. And then, oh no, it turns out you are dumb assholes.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to get real worked up like that about a video game I know I'm never gonna play.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't have even noticed if they hadn't made such a big deal about, look how progressive we are, and then just fell face first into a pile of their own shit.
Yeah, basically.
I'm never going to play it either. Probably.
And Bradford makes three.
I haven't even gotten around to playing Witcher 3 yet, so I'm definitely not going to play that anytime soon. Anyways, that was the most recent Crunch video game thing with Crunch, so whatever. Captain Crunch, folks.
Captain Crunch, folks.
So yeah, but miraculously, it was finished on time and it was sent out to the WB, so they could put this out around Christmas in 2002, and life would never be the same. Remarkable that it only showed once. Remarkable. They were planning on doing an Easter sequel. Some people say that it exists.
It doesn't.
It probably does not.
Yeah.
The only evidence of it is a couple of random, like, TV guide things, which are probably sent to the station, like, literally a year in advance.
Yeah. Especially back then.
Yeah, like, if you look at any Garfield strip, that strip was literally drawn a year ago.
All right. So, we're going to go through this plot, and this plot is bare bones. So, I can do it very quickly. We have Ricky Rogers. He's the main character. He has a crush on a girl named Nicole. But hey, we got a dead mom alert. Ricky's mom is dead. And he lives with his grandma.
He lives with his great-grandma.
His great-grandma.
So the dead mom has a dead mom alert.
His great-grandma, they like, it's really odd, his great-grandma. Because they do like a Boomhauer, but only some of the time, and also kind of racist.
It's Deborah Wilson, and they recorded actual lines for her, but the audio was corrupted, and nobody bothered to fucking check before they put it all together.
Wait. It's really because the audio was corrupted?
Yes, because there are a couple of lines where it works just fine.
Yeah, like at the end, but during the middle of the movie, she's like, Christmas.
Yeah, that's just...
That's it, yeah.
Just garbled audio.
I had no idea! Wow.
And that line that Brad just read, I'm looking at a ceramic coffee mug with grandma end that line on it, and it's just the perfect thing in the world. And if you guys want to get me something for next Christmas, please, I'm begging you. This
send it to me in the chat. I need to see it, this.
I did.
Here's another baffling thing, speaking about voices in here. The fucking credit song was Peebo Bryson.
That's Peebo Bryson?
Yeah, Through a Child's Eye, performed by Paige O'Hara and Peebo Bryson.
Wow. See, at a certain point in my notes here, I just wrote, what is this music? Did Chris Daughtry lose a bet or something? And that's pretty much what it sounds like. It's just sad Chris Daughtry music the whole way through.
So, apparently the guy that wrote most of the music in this, was supposed to be like his big break.
Oh, no.
Sorry, bud.
There's a different... There's supposed to be a soundtrack that came out, and there is an album called Through a Child's Eyes, which seems to be the five songs from this plus a bunch of other random shit, because it's like featuring the voices of Paige O'Hara, Peebo Bryson, and Ty Herndon. Ty Herndon is a country singer. He's not in any of these songs, though. So he's just in another thing that's on that album.
Huh. The more you know. So Ricky wants to give his bear that his mom gave him to Nicole. It, at least at the beginning of this movie, is she's like a spoiled mall rat who is constantly talking about the mall.
Yeah, all of these characters have one dimension.
Yeah.
Hers is things are good because they're from the mall.
And cost money.
Yeah, and things that are not from the mall are dumb and bad, and she shouldn't have to look at them.
For a 3D movie, these characters sure only have one dimension.
Wow. Brad, did that hurt you when you gave us that one? Did it hurt? Did you pull a muscle?
Everything hurts, Joe.
I'm sure it does, and it should.
All right. So he gives her the bear. She doesn't appreciate it. She throws it away. We have a C plot with a girl called Lene who is having a crisis of faith about Santa Claus. She hangs out with Nicole, and then we have Smiffy, who I guess is Ricky's best friend. He's the guy who's always carrying around the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That's his character.
He also has a scarf.
He also has a scarf. And he also pretends girls are gross, I guess.
And one of my favorite lines in this entire thing is when Smithy says, "I love creeping out creepy girls."
The scarf just fucking baffles me because it's like, all right, he's Strider, I guess. I don't know why, but
it's so they don't have to animate a mouth, basically.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
just on the one guy though. They did. Yeah. They didn't feel anybody else.
You can't do that with everybody, I guess.
Everybody's gonna wear a scarf in this movie.
Everybody's wearing balaclavas. It's wonderful.
So they go. All of these kids. There's also a bully. He's Todd. He has like a stoner friend and another generic bully friend. Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, the main bully is Nancy Cartwright, and then Clint Howard's the other bully, and then who could care who the surfer bully is?
Yeah, it could be literally anyone.
They kind of like pull like a weird frenemy thing with him, where he's like, oh, he's so like mellowed out and wacky, but he hangs with the bullies. No, they all go to Rhapsody Street Elementary, or was it middle? I didn't care enough.
It's Rhapsody Street, Rhapsody spelled R-A-P-S-I-T-T-I-E, nothing to do with Tyga, and the sign says striving for excellence, they misspelled excellence.
Well, that's because they're striving for it, and they're not there yet.
What is the over-under on that? Was it an intentional joke or not?
Oh, man, that's...
It's hard to tell with this movie, isn't it?
Yeah, because there, like, you can tell there's certain attempts at humor that they actually try to like pull off, and then there's some that's just like pure baseline, like this is what a Christmas special cartoon is. But then they try to tell jokes, and it never works. So honestly, no. I don't know.
There's a whole scene about where the teacher is telling them to sit down. I don't think these models can sit down, so they're all talking about
and again,
not
it's,
sitting
it's,
down.
It, again, it's like all of these people. I mean, I know how a recording works usually, but it really feels like none of these people recording this had any idea what they were recording for, because the teacher is just mad. That's her characterization.
Yeah.
Yep. Her character is mad. And needs a vacation. Oh, I need a vacation. All right.
So we have our
main cast. So Nicole throws the bear away, and then she denies Santa in front of Lene, and then has an entire musical number where she's singing to Santa immediately after. It's the next scene.
And it's not even like a thing where it's like, oh, she secretly believes in Santa. No, she doesn't. She has a change of heart at the end, but it's just in the middle. She's like, no, there's a song about Santa because why would anything make sense in this fucking thing?
Because somebody already wrote a song to Santa and they decided that they wanted Nicole to be the one to sing it.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Otherwise she's making a, she's hedging her bets by praying and wishing to Santa that he brings her stuff from the mall for Christmas. I don't know, man.
So Ricky gets turned down. And he says, "You might be smart with books, but you sure are stupid."
Ricky. That's the other part of Nicole's characterization is she also like gets straight A's and everything.
Yeah. So Ricky writes a bunch of letters to Santa. I guess for some reason he wrote multiple letters. He drops one, and in it, of course, is the plot dump where he explains that he gave his mother's bear to Nicole, not that
it really matters. I think that was just supposed to be the rest of the mail that he was taking out.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. But again, none of this fucking really makes sense.
No, none of it does. It's the plot is look at the quality of the animation. The plot is
comparable.
It's about a point above maybe because it's easier to write sentences than it is to animate things with a computer. But
look, Nicole learns the error of her ways. So Smithy and Nicole and Lene go searching for Ricky's bear. And first they go to a creepy old house, and it's not there. Then they go to a junkyard and get chased by a pair of doggies, which is literally what I wrote in my notes. A pair of doggies.
The creepy old house was supposed to be the fucking school's basement, too.
It is the school's basement.
Are you kidding
me? And then
I looked away for a second and just completely missed it. Okay.
Because and the dogs? You guys know that? Nope, sorry, go ahead.
The explanation Smithy gives is that sometimes the janitor takes the trash out of the dumpster and takes it into the basement, one does.
Yes, to keep the trash safe.
Listen, at this point I had checked out, and I was not paying very close attention.
So the dogs that they get chased by in the junkyard, you guys know that video, the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ha-ba-ga-da-ga-da, the dog of wisdom, where it's like a wiener dog, little wiener dog.
No, I have no idea what you are talking about right now.
I'll put it in the show notes. Please. It's a poorly animated, it's like a very like, well, the dog looks better than the one in Rhapsody Street Kids. But anyways,
okay.
The dogs they get chased by are like little tiny wiener dogs.
All right.
Because that's the model they had.
Yep, that's you run with it. You go with what you got.
You go to war with the dogs you have, not the dogs you want.
I like that explanation. Like, it's like if you use Roll20 and you don't like pay for any art assets, you're like, oh, let me search goblin. Oh, this isn't a goblin. This is the green M&M from M&M's. I guess this is a goblin now. We were playing. I don't remember what the Dungeon Master searched. I think it was Necromancer, but it brought up a green M&M, except it was a guy, and he had like a military haircut and like a cop mustache.
You're killing me.
Wait, was the green? Did the green M&M become the general from those General Insurance commercials?
Was he still sexy?
I mean, personal preference. I mean, some people are into that choke me daddy shit. Who am I to judge?
I just, in all of that, the thing that Brad wanted to know was whether the green M&M was still sexy. I mean, of course the green M&M is still sexy. Are you kidding me? So they find the bear in the junkyard, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's just because that's also where you take trash to, is the junkyard where the cars go.
Only piece of it's all cars, and the only piece of garbage in the entire junkyard is the bear.
Yep.
I do love, there's whatever random, like, stock art they could find in the program they were using, because, like, there's an air conditioner and a toilet in the junkyard as well.
Yeah. The cars in this junkyard look like
a Worms Armageddon stage.
They look like JPEGs of melted gummy bears. I mean, from here, Linacy's vision of Santa Claus in the clouds. I'm skipping straight to the end because I don't care anymore.
Christmas arrives. Well, she gives the bear back to Ricky. Then Christmas arrives and she gets a video box, which is also what Ricky told Santa he wanted personally. And so she goes over and gives him the video box, which I guess is supposed to be an Xbox because it's 2002.
Yeah, I was about to say, Brad, what is a video box? Is it a DivX machine?
I mean, that's immediately what my mind went to, but I think it's supposed to be... It's kids like video games, right?
Last I checked, yeah.
What are you guys playing on your video box lately, by the way?
I used my PlayStation 4 to watch a bunch of Marx Brothers movies this week. What about you?
I've been playing Opus Magnum and the Alesta Collection. They're both very good.
Real answer, I've been playing Spelunky 2.
Ooh, nice. Johnny Five, what have you been playing on your video box?
Let me check my calendar. Final Fantasy 14, it turns out.
Surprise.
Yeah, beyond that, is there really anything I've been, like, excited for? I need to finish Hades still.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, you do.
I just bought a couple of random adventure games on Steam that were on sale during the... adventure is not the right word, but, like, you know, like a little more involved than visual novel. Kind of closer to a point of click adventure. They're pretty fun. I need a new computer. Hey, everyone, give Rice Council, send us a new computer.
The American Rice Council, if you're listening to this, rice is very delicious and very good and very nutritious for your... You give it to your family. Send John a new computer.
Which Rice Council specifically, though? Is it one?
The American
Rice Council. I know, but does the American Rice Council cover all rice in the country, or do we have separate councils for separate types of rice?
Hey buddy, all rice is beautiful.
My dad says basmati is a bastard rice.
Okay, let's move on then.
The video box, she gives him the video box, and then they all come and meet up at Lene's house later for whatever reason, and they sing a song about Christmas.
But also hang on, hang the fuck on, because Lene's sister gets a pony for Christmas.
And the pony is left outside in the snow.
With a bow on it. Is it supposed to be a real pony? Because it doesn't move.
I think it's supposed to be a real pony, but it's also dead because they left it outside in the snow.
It looks like the brain-damaged horse from Family Guy.
It looks like anything from Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff. In fact, I screenshotted the pony and put it in group chat when I was watching because it's so good. I was losing my shit at that pony. It's amazing. It's the best pony.
The last line is Mark Hamill saying, "Shut the door," which is amazing because it's acknowledging the fact that half these fucking houses and stores in this show just all have the doors open and it's snowing.
It's also a reference to the thing from Another World, I think, but that's neither here nor there.
No, that's neither here nor there. It's Another World.
Yeah, exactly. And so now at this point, also we have the amazing line where Ricky says, "Grandma, you always know what to say." And then Grandma says...
Great grandma, you always know just what to say. Christmas.
Christmas.
She's just like, oh, she's a Wookiee. That's what's going on.
there's a lot that we haven't even touched on.
I don't even care, man.
There's just a lot of... There's just so many insane threads to pull in this fucking 40-minute thing where 20 minutes of it is songs, and the songs aren't really good either.
No, they're not. How the camera focuses on the back of Nicole's hair, which is clipping to each other constantly, but yet nobody thought maybe we shouldn't focus on that. Sorry, John, go ahead.
The characters go from either they're just moving for the sake of moving, or they're standing so still that you're like, did the video start buffering?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the song Nicole sings, she rhymes Santa with Santa about a dozen times.
She does. Yes, she does. I noticed that as well.
There is no element of this that isn't just, I mean...
The voice acting, you have to argue the voice acting is okay.
Well, because they hired dog shit to say.
Because they hired actual professionals, that's why.
Yes.
Yeah, but even still, it's like fucking giving like a baseball player a wiffle bat. It's like there's only so much he can do, no matter how good he is.
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah, actually.
That's pretty apt.
Because like Mark Hamill, there's a bit here on the IMDb. Mark Hamill was asked like, does he remember making this? And all his answer was just, I've done so many voiceovers over the years, there are projects I have no memory of. This is one of those projects.
I was probably just saying, I remember the garage I paid for.
So the moral of the story is believe in Santa, right?
Believe in Santa.
Just believe in Santa. Santa has no role to play in any of this. Santa's not a character. Santa doesn't exist in the story.
No,
but
the bear is from Ricky's mom.
Mm-hmm.
The video box is from Nicole's grandma. The only presents in here aren't Santa. The only time Santa fucking shows up is there's a shadow at the very end.
The clip art shadow.
Clip art shadow. Yeah, there's
nothing to fuel Nicole's newfound belief in Santa. No mention of it made in the plot whatsoever. Just at the end, she announces she believes in Santa again.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Cool.
I hate it. Thanks, Bradford. I hate it.
It's terrible in all the right ways. It goes down so smooth.
Oh, God.
I was amused, at least.
Well, hey, I'm tired of talking about this.
Yes, should we go to the crankometer?
Let's jump straight to the crankometer. If you're just joining us now on this hellish train wreck of an episode, the crankometer is our patented XY-axis where we rate Christmas movies. The X-axis is the Christmosity scale, how Christmassy a film is, and the Y-axis is the quality scale, how good the film is. So, gentle friends, X-axis, how Christmassy is Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa?
I mean, it's kind of Christmassy.
I mean, it's not un-Christmassy.
It's not on-Christmassy.
It doesn't necessarily...
A lot of the action happens because of Christmas events.
It doesn't necessarily misuse any of it.
Yeah. No. Like, this is something I've been thinking about, too, is, like, especially because I want to watch Ronin sometime, and Ronin is just barely fucking mentions Christmas. I think slightly more than The Last Boy Scout, but only barely. And because I want to think about that, like... Did this movie need to bring up Christmas? Why did it bring up Christmas? No, this was fine. This needed to be a Christmas thing because it's actually about Christmas rather than just like, we got some Santas we can put on the set too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it a one or a two.
Yeah, it doesn't go too crazy with it in any direction.
Maybe a two.
I would be generous because it's the new year and say a two.
Yep.
Okay. That's fair. It's fine as far as Christmas goes. Like, it's... If this was animated any other way, it would be fairly acceptable as a Christmas special, so whatever. But now we have to wonder and ask the question, how Y-axis, how good is this, and how can we salvage this from a -5?
Oh, it is bad. It is very, very bad.
Did we even talk about the Easter Bunny thing at the very fucking end?
No.
No, it's setting up for a sequel.
Yeah, the very last line over the credits is a character who, I think it's the girl with the pony.
Yeah.
Linnea's
sister.
Hi, it's me. I'm this character, and now I'm going to tell you about the Easter Bunny. And a bunch of people claim that this totally existed. It never did because nobody wanted them to make more animation.
Right.
Even though they did make a Jurassic Park ripoff a few years later. But for the Easter Bunny thing, the only evidence of it ever existing was a couple of TV guides from, well, you know, we mentioned this early, didn't we? So I was talking about Garfield.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, nobody wanted any of this. This studio only made two things, this and dinosaur, what the fuck ever, who gives a shit?
Yes. I would say the only thing, I don't know.
All of the comedy and all of the joy is unintentional. There is nothing that is actually intentionally good about this.
Correct.
Absolutely.
But the question is it so bad it's good? I don't know. It's just kind of bad, isn't it?
It's just bad. Sometimes a thing can be just bad.
Yeah, the few moments where it pulls up into, like, why, what the fuck just happened? Such as any time Deborah Wilson's character tries to talk. Don't do anything for the rest of it.
I mean, that is pretty funny.
There's a moment, I think it's the last time we see the teacher character, and she talks about how, like, she needs a vacation. And then, right before it cuts away from her, she makes the DreamWorks face, and I think that's hilarious.
Yes.
That's very good.
But that's definitely not on purpose.
There's also a really good wink between Nicole's parents that occurs, where it's like the Arrested Development wink, where they just hold it for way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, my thought was always on early That 70s Show, where the joke was, oh, Eric left the house, let's go fuck, before he gets back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is this a nat 5, negative 5, rather?
I think it would be a disservice to the crankometer if we did not give this a negative 5.
No.
So bad.
The very few enjoyable moments on it you don't have to watch to get.
Right.
Like, you could easily watch a 3-second clip of gibberish of the great-grandma character, and you have all the joy you can get out of that.
Also, this is an infinitely GIF-able, cartoon special. Like, you can take little snippets of moments of just bad animation, put it on the internet, and it'll be there forever.
Yes. Well, that's how a GIF works.
No, I know. Yes. I'm saying the whole special is like that.
Yeah, yeah, there's not a moment that's not in some way amusing in its ineptitude, I guess you could say.
That's a good way to
put it. Still doesn't
save it.
That's
a good way to put it. Amusing in its own ineptitude.
Yeah. All the enjoyment you could possibly have is unintentional on the part of the creators.
Right.
Yes.
So,
let me just say as a quick aside before we wrap up this, do you guys know have you ever seen the stuff where they do reanimated on YouTube?
No.
I think I vaguely know what you're talking about.
Well, there's a whole, subgenre of YouTube videos where a bunch of usually amateur but not always animators group up and team up and take a piece of media and reanimate it, whether it was good before or not, or sometimes it's like a video game, and they put their own spin on it and do their own style.
I saw a thing a few weeks ago that was Steamed Hams, but every 12 seconds the animation style changed because they had a different animator.
Yes, that's a reanimated, basically. If there's anything this is begging for, it's a reanimated, because I feel like you could put the acceptable work of these voice actors to good use and just kind of punch up the animation.
The biggest problem is,
the effort.
Walter Jones didn't really know what he was doing on this. The guy who plays Ricky, because it's just, all the voices are just soft like this. I don't really know what my character's feeling, because I think he's just on heavy benzos.
I'm just going to rhyme occasionally.
Yes.
Then we didn't even mention about how Ricky just, I guess they wanted to be rapping because the teacher says no rapping, but he just speaks in rhyme naturally.
Yeah, she's like, no rapping. And he goes, oh, I guess I'll save that for the presents.
It's so bad. Anyways.
So yeah, this is a positive 2, negative 5 on our crankometer. What a way to start the new year, huh?
I got it. Okay, Smithy's new name is Strider Hoagie.
Strider Hoagie. Very good.
I would watch an entire anime about that character. But you know how I feel about anime.
Come on. Strider Hero, but Hero is spelled H-I-R-O. Come on. No? Nobody?
I'll give you that one.
Okay, thank you.
That's it. That's Rap City Street Kids Believe in Santa. We're done. I don't ever have to talk about this thing ever again.
Unless
you just wanted to go deeper and talk about their animated dinosaur thingamajig.
Oh god, I really hope there's nothing about Christmas in that fucking dinosaur thing.
I don't think so, unfortunately, or fortunately.
Next time on the show, we'll be talking about Christmas Chronicles Part 2, so come back for that. So hey, if you want to leave us a question or a comment or recommendations for future episodes, send those to us at christmascreeps@gmail.com. Or you can tweet those things to us at Christmas Creeps on Twitter or Facebook at Christmas Creeps. Or hey, we're on Instagram too. All that fun stuff. Like and subscribe. Do all the things. Leave comments and ratings. Tell a friend about the show. Let's grow this audience in 2021. Let's make this the best year Christmas Creeps has ever had. Are you with me?
Yeah.
My schedule's mostly clear.
Good. Then it's settled. So, gentle friends, happy 2021, everybody.
Wear a fucking helmet.
Wear a fucking helmet. So, for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I'm Johnny Five, the human robot.
Christmas.
Good night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.